Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen and podcast audience, today's podcaster, Kenneth Hodge.
I have to redo that, Rob. It'll be right by next week. I haven't been real consistent on my injury conversation podcast, but next week you will hear your podcasters will be Ken Hodge and Robert Frost. Hey, but good evening, podcast audience. And again, we're trying to get back on track with our injury compensation Tuesday night podcast. Kind of left it alone for a little while, but it's funny how personal situations will invoke incitement and make people want to get back to doing what it was they should have been doing anyway. In other words, I sustained an injury last week, and it made me realize how important what it is that we're doing and what it is that we should always be doing or keep doing. Hey, good evening, Rob. How you doing today?
I'm doing well, Kenny. Thank you. Well, as well as can be expected.
Watch this. It's so funny, and not funny, but it's humorous that both of your injury compensation podcasters are actually going through the process as we podcast. So trust me and believe me, next couple of weeks, you're going to hear some interesting things that you thought you knew, but we didn't have a real good grasp on it. And tonight, I want to start the show off tonight. We're going to talk about two forms tonight. Normally, I know we've beaten you down with the CA1s, the CA2s, CA7s. But tonight, we're going to talk about the CA16, and we're going to talk about the CA7. In fact, just so we'll do it in numerical order, let's talk about the CA7 first. Now, again, like I said, because I sustained an injury this week, it became necessary for me to go through this process. And what I find or what I found in this process, I mean, right off the bat, was a lot of the agencies, meaning different departments in the post office, have not updated their CA-17s. I'm sorry, the CA-7s. You know what? What's this? Let me get my bearings. We're talking about a CA-16 and the CA-17. I know I put on my show, I got to change it, CA-7. But we're not talking about compensation for OWCP time. We're talking about the CA-17, which is the, everybody knows it as the green form, the duty status report. And I'll change the heading on this show to be CA-17 and CA-16. So in that case, since we're going to stay in chronological order, let's talk about the CA-16 first. And please pardon me while I get myself on track here. CA-16. Again, one of the initial forms that you're going to come in contact with probably immediately following the CA-1 will be the CA-16. Now, that CA-16, by definition and by nomenclature, is authorization for examination and or treatment. Again, authorization for examination and or treatment, your OWCP form CA-16. Now, I want to start off with giving you the purpose of that form. And you got to understand, I am emphasizing the purpose of that form, because if this step that I'm going to talk to you about right now isn't done initially, then the rest of that form does not become a working document until this takes place. And the purpose of that form is authorization for an employee to obtain medical care or treatment from a doctor or medical facility in his or her choice following an injury or illness. And I start off with authorization. I'm being informed that more times than not, when employees are going for medical treatment, they're just given a blank CA-16. And let me tell you something. A blank CA-16, when it comes to injury compensation, isn't worth the paper it's written on. If you look at the cover page on your CA-16, you're going to find that there's a block in there that management has to fill out. And if they don't fill that out, then you have no actual authorization. And it's important that you understand that. Now, I know a lot of times we're working with postal management and they want to tell you, hey, just do it and we'll fill it in later. But not that should not happen with this CA-16. Because, again, the CA-16 is a request for information and is authorized by the law. The law. Benefits and or medical service expenses may not be paid or may be subject to suspension until this, under this program unless this report is completed and filed as requested. And when I say completed, if you look at the cover page, Part A deals with authorization. Okay? Authorization. If you go down to A6, you'll see where you are being authorized to provide medical care for the employee for the employee for a period of up to 60 days from the date shown in item 11. Now, if you look a little further down, there is a signature box there. And in that signature box, local employing agency, and again, it needs to be a name and a signature there because someone has to authorize that CA-16, and you just having a blank CA-16, trust me and believe me, does not authorize any facility to give you treatment. And you really, really have to understand that. And I want to say again, the front page Part A of the CA-16 is the authorization page. There is a signature block, block 8, that's got to be a signature of authorizing official. If no official authorizes your CA-16, no hospital, ambulance, or any other care service has to accept it. And you need to understand that. I hope that makes sense to people. Because I know if there's an injury because the management doesn't practice or give a lot of concern to the proper way to do things, then everything goes to static mode and we just start grabbing forms. Well, again, management, you ought to have a signed CA-16 by the responsible manager in a place that's accessible to your supervisors that's on duty. Because without that, and again, if you go to a care facility and that form isn't authorized, now what you just did was you just put a little exacerbation on whatever injury that employee had. Because now the hospital will be pressing that employee for their medical documentation. One other point on the CA-16 that I really want to talk about is it's come to my understanding that if you are injured at work in Columbus, Ohio, you have the responsibility for your own transportation to a medical facility. And let me tell you what I mean by that. When I say you have the responsibility, you're going to get the bill for that. So even if, and again, I'm speaking to managers last week in Columbus, and this is what I'm being told. Even if they call you an ambulance, you're still going to pay that bill, and then you have to report that bill to OWCP. Well, I'm going to put a concept out there, Robin. You tell me how this sounds to you. If you're going to, and we may want to, duplicate this message if it's proper. If you're going to the hospital by way of ambulance from work, then it only makes sense to me that there's two CA-16s. Because if it's an at-work injury, the post office bears the burden of that bill. Now, again, always remember, if for whatever reason you get hurt at work and OWCP determines you were negligent and I don't know, whatever else they could determine, then you may be responsible for that bill. But I'm simply saying, if there's a traumatic injury at work, a CA1 is filed, it makes me wonder how can the post office take a position that you're responsible for getting yourself to medical treatment. And if you don't require ambulatory services and you drive yourself to the hospital after reporting the injury to the agency, I really would like to have a conversation with an injury compensation lawyer, because I can't imagine the post office not being 100% liable for you knowing that you are injured and allowing you to transport yourself to the hospital. Please, Robert, jump in there and give me a different light on that. What's your understanding on that situation?
Well, you brought up something that I hadn't thought about, and that's whether the post office would be liable for anything if you drove yourself to the hospital or a clinic or whatever. I want to clarify something first. All right, the post office has the requirement to offer you the ambulance. All right. Now, whether you choose to accept the ride or not is up to you. As far as the CA-16 goes, they have to sign that paper for anyone to get paid. Otherwise, the bills will come to you. Unless you get a lucky break and workers' comp says, oh, yeah, that's definitely a workplace injury and gives you a claim number right away. That has happened, but it's so rare that
But let me ask you a question. Let me interject for a second. That has happened because most of the times, and please correct me if I'm wrong, if you get injured at work and an ambulance has to take you away, there's no CA-16 for that ambulance. So they're trying to put that directly to your insurance. Now, once you get to the hospital, then the postal paperwork kicks in and your initial visit will be covered because that CA-16 will authorize that. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, the CA-16 that goes to the hospital will also cover the ambulance. All right. I was transported to the ambulance for my injury, by ambulance for my injury. And they sent me the bill several times. Once I had my claim number, I gave them the claim number, and workers' comp paid for it. No questions.
Okay, see, now, in that case, if it always happened that smoothly, I probably wouldn't address it. But I hear a lot of stories of people getting ambulance bills or hospital bills from work-related injuries. And the time it takes for workers' comp to accept their bills and pay those bills, their credit score is taking a beating for having a late bill. So that's...
No. It's not. Let me rephrase. Yeah, that can happen. It is not supposed to happen. The ambulance or hospital is supposed to go back and correct that, if that is the case.
Well, and again, a lot of times they will correct it, but now it becomes important for that patient to stay on top of every time you get a bill, you have to send it in. I know there has to be a way around that so that the employee who suffered an at-work injury should never see those bills unless there's a copay they're responsible for. And if you're hurt at work, that shouldn't be either.
Yeah, there should be no copay. Yeah,
right.
Agree with you. I agree with you as far as your recommendation of getting two CA-16s, one for the ambulance, one for the hospital. That makes sense. That way the ambulance knows it's going to get paid.
Yes, because that's the main thing about that piece of gold they call the CA-16. Again, it's a controlled form. Employees should not easily have access to that form, but then management has to make sure that there are completed forms. So in the event of an accident, emergency, The packet, have a packet labeled what to do in case of an accident and have all your forms in there, your CA1, your CA16, CA17, and have those forms in a packet already pre-authorized So when they need them, they have them, as opposed to now you need it and there's nobody there that wants to authorize it. So again, what that does is, in addition to you trying to rehabilitate and get yourself back to 100%, now you have to worry about, I've got bills coming in that I should not be receiving, and it's damaging to my credit status. And again, that's a big part from my perspective of why we want to make sure we do this the right way. And if it's a bill you should not be receiving, then you should not be receiving it. That's just my take on it.
I agree. And the problem you're also going to run into is, both with the ambulance and the emergency room, they're going to, and even with the follow-up doctors, they're going to try to bill it to your insurance. That's why they want your insurance information. Don't allow that. There's no reason you can pay anything for any of this.
And you're right.
Don't
pay any
information.
And when I went to the hospital, again, I'm talking personally this happened to me. When I went to the hospital, the authorization on the CA-16 wasn't complete, and they did nothing with it. They gave me their paperwork. So here's a case where I'm going to a hospital with a CA-1. The CA-16 was not prepared properly. Therefore, it was not a working document, and they have no CA-16. But what the hospital said to me was, and I can't make this up, they said the post office and other federal agencies. So it wasn't just the post office. Send employees to the emergency room far too often without the correct paperwork. So I went to the hospital at, the one out east. They have a system set up that if it's a work-related injury, they've got codes where they don't need to receive your medical information, your health insurance. So even though, again, when I go back to work, we're going to have to redo a CA-16 because the post office likes to keep their paperwork correct, even if it's after the fact. But the hospital have programs in their software that they bill injury compensation directly. Now, let me say this to you. I happened to be talking to a doctor and a nurse when I was there. This is not something that I'm putting out as, don't worry, when you get there, they're going to take care of it. I don't know if it's a new program. I don't know if it's an old program. I'm just saying that because my CA-16 wasn't filled out properly, the hospital had a backup plan so that work-related injuries, injury compensation cases, would be billed directly to the Department of Labor, and they never asked for my health insurance information. So,
well, that's good. Unfortunately, not all of them do that. That's probably the only one I've heard of.
Right. And again, I don't know if that was a freak accident. So when I put out to you on this podcast what happened, I'm not putting out to you that you're going to be able to duplicate that to happen again, because that's not the process. The process is you take a completed CA-16 to the treating physician, and then that treating physician will complete the rest of the CA-16. Because, again, only Part A starts with authorization. Once they see Part A and that's filled out, now the Part B is the attending physician report. So the fact that I'm going to come back with no attending physician report because based on the incomplete CA-16, they didn't authorize that. So I'm sure we'll back that paperwork up, but I want you to understand, when you get a CA-16, please try to make sure that management has signed and authorized it, so that now becomes a working document instead of just a document. The next form I want to talk to you about, and we're going to stay along those same lines as far as looking at the validity of forms, is the CA-17. Now, that CA-17 is a report to go back to work, report for duty. In fact, it's actually a duty status report. Again, most people know the CA-17 as that green form. Okay, so but let's talk about the green form for a minute. And before we even get into part A, there's a legend or set of instructions or directions at the top of the form. And it tells you that who is responsible for filling out this form, who is responsible for requiring, for providing information. The last sentence of the paragraph on top of the form before part A and B reads as follows. Persons are not required to respond to this collection of information unless it displays a currently valid OBM control number. Now, most of us could care less about an OBM control number because it never really played into what it is we needed to get done. But if you look in the top right-hand corner of your CA-17, there's an OBM number followed by expires. If the post office gives you a CA-17 that has an expiration date that has already passed, when you take that to your physician, again, reading directly from the form, persons are not required to respond to this collection of information unless it displays a currently valid OBM control number. Now, that may seem like a little thing to some people. It may seem like we're being sticklers. But let me tell you something. When you have cases that are being disputed and the post office doesn't even take enough pride in what it is they do to give you correctly dated forms, well, that has got to be a helping hand to any injury compensation lawyer when you try to adjudicate a case. Because depending on how deep you want to take the situation, the fact that the post office gave you persons are not required. So if you brought in information, if you received discipline or a PDI because you failed to bring back a CA-17 that had an expired date on it, then we need to revisit that discipline and see how we can get that fixed. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you return to work and you didn't have a CA-17, or the post office gave you an outdated CA-17 that, and let's keep it 100. I'm sure you didn't know the form was outdated, but for whatever reason, you just didn't have it filled out and brought back to work. You see, the fact that you didn't know it was expired, the post office has to know that. And if there is no documentation put on your CA-17, your expired CA-17, the post office, Department of Labor says, if the form is expired, people are not required to respond. You can still respond, but you're no longer required. Have you ever heard that before, Rob?
No.
And again, as we start to go through situations ourselves, it makes you look at documents a little more meticulously. And I find that if in most of the CA-17s that are coming out of the post office right now has got an OBM number and it expires around 2014. Again, somebody just not paying attention to the details of this process. Been given a CA-17 by the post office anytime within the last year or so, look at the date on it, and it expires in 2014. So now, again, being made aware that the post office is not giving you legitimate forms that, as per the Department of Labor, medical providers must provide information to, well, if you receive some kind of discipline based off of an invalid CA-17, if your union has any fight in it, they might want to fight and look at that for you. But more importantly, from this point forward, you should know, and I'm assured that postal management hears this podcast. So again, this isn't so much of a point the finger as opposed to, hey, let's just get it right. and on your CA-17, look at the activities that they say you're supposed to do. Now, again, everything in a post office, because they look for ease of use every avenue they can, is cookie cutter, meaning they probably have one CA-17 filled out for every mail handler, one CA-17 filled out that applies to every clerk, and that's just not how it is. You've got different levels in there. You got level 4 mail handlers, level 5 mail handlers. You have different levels in clerks, and different levels mean you're doing different activities. One CA-17 will not suffice for every employee in that building, and I found that out also. I'm a level 5 driver, but when it came to my CA-17, as far as driving, there was nothing checked, and that's my job. So, again, everybody, employees, let's make ourselves more aware of the documents that management give us. And to management, let's make yourselves more aware that we do a once-over on the documents given to employees so that when they leave the facility, they have everything they need to receive the medical care and rehabilitative services they are entitled to. I don't think that's asking a whole lot. I think that's just called everybody perfecting what it is they're supposed to do. And I think it will help ease the OWCP process as it lends itself to postal employees. That's what I think. Any words?
Yeah, I think that would help. The other thing that would help would be the post office needs someone to make sure the paperwork is updated correctly and dispose of all of the current ones they have printed. The expired ones need to be destroyed or just thrown away because they're just documents. They're nothing official or anything until they're filled in. So they need to be disposed of, and the new updated ones need to be the ones that they're pulling from.
I wonder how long have they been giving out CA-17s that expired in 2014. And again,
yeah,
it may seem like something very, very minuscule to some, but I'm certain if you have a pending case claim against the post office going through the Department of Labor, the fact that they're using outdated forms with respect to them not receiving information back. So I want to be real careful. Just because the form is outdated, if your doctor still filled it out, then it's a good form because it says they're not required to. But if they gave you an outdated CA-17 and you never returned one back, and I'm pretty sure this is going to really help me with two EEOs I have pending in the maintenance craft right now. But if they gave you outdated forms and you never responded back and it had a detriment to your case, well, we're going to take a look at that. So tonight we talked about the CA-16 and the CA-17, the importance of making sure we get them filled out properly. Remember that the CA-16, it's just paperwork until they authorize it. Then it goes from a document to a working document that will be accepted and responded to by attending physicians. On your CA-17, make sure that the OBM number is on it and make sure that they're not giving you expired forms. It's a small thing, and I'm sure that, just like you said, Rob, they're going to destroy all their 2014 CA-17s and bring the 2021 versions out. That's if they care about being in compliance. Hey, my name is Kenny Hodge, and we're back on our Tuesday night injury compensation podcast. And hey, Rob, you take us home tonight. Give us our closing words.
Thank you for joining us, everyone. Please take care out there. If you are injured, call me. All right. If you can't get my number from Kenny, you can call somebody. Somebody has it.
give it to him now,
Rob. See me at work. All right. And I will help you with the forms.
What number can you
reach there? I'm at 614-354-1369. I am available, I hate to say this, but I am. I'm available 24 hours a day. Now, I can't answer the phone right away when I'm at work, but I'll take a break and call you right back. So
and
please,
the key,
contact me.
And the key thing, I like what you said, is you have all the valid forms. All your forms are up to date.
That's correct.
Oh, trust me, I know they are. Hey, listen. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. Have a nice evening and a great week. Take care.